I'm still not tired of it. And everyone from the metal band Linkin Park to Jimmy Fallon have covered it. Here's a mashup of fans on YouTube.
You have my heart inside.
All hail Adele. She's nominated in 6 categories at this Sunday's Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year. And what a year it's been. Her second CD, 21, was the best-selling album of 2011, and Sunday will be her first performance since vocal cord surgery. But we loved her first. Kidding, but I do remember going to see Adele at a concert and thinking, who are all these other people? She's talking to me. Maura Johnston is music critic at The Village Voice. She joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. And Maura, put your finger on the appeal.
I think she's just very relatable. I think that, you know, she writes about heartbreak and sorrow in these ways that are very cathartic and simply put. And of course, you know, she delivers them with this voice that's just this very powerful, beautiful instrument.
Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements even if it leads nowhere?
Well, then everyone knows about her heartbreaks, and so young. Mm-hmm. She's only 23 now. She's like this old soul who at 19, with her debut album 19, you know, talked about these heartbreaks. A guy who broke up with her, and then he got married. In this Saturday Night Live skit, office workers secretly meet to cry over the song about that.
You both needed a good cry, so you were listening to Adele, Someone Like You. Do you do it too? Everyone with a heart and an iTunes account does. So I know it. I get it, and I want in.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best of you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you say. Sometimes it lasts and loves, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Maura Johnston, the Boston Globe just recently did a whole piece just about this one song and how people cry over it.
It's so simply put, and I think that's the beauty of it, is it's this very plain, unadorned sentiment, you know, with her just sort of laying it all out there. And I really feel like that's something that people are looking for, a connection when they listen to music. People are looking for something that they can latch on to. And the nature of her voice and the nature of the lyrics just combine into this package that a lot of people, you know, they feel it, and they feel their emotions being tugged or their memories being tripped.
But I said fire to the rain. Watch it burn as I touch your face. When it burn, will I cry? Cause I heard it screaming out your name. Your name.
I mentioned seeing her in concert. It wasn't a big theater. It was the House of Blues here in Boston, which isn't big, you know, hundreds of people. But still, she sits on a stool and, you know, talks about her love, like, back and forth with the audience, very intimate, very open, very almost chatty.
And, you know, that's funny because it also comes through, like, in her blogging and stuff. She's very sort of open about things and with interviewers as well. I mean, I think that the power of hearing just one voice, you know, especially now in the headphone era where music listening is so much more personal too, I think that she sort of can establish this connection very easily. And you don't even need to kind of see her on the stool. You can kind of picture her sitting on the stool when she's just singing in your ears if you're listening on earbuds.
When will I see you again? You left with no goodbye, not a single word was said. No final kiss to seal any sins. I had no idea of the state.
It really is far more of a 60s sort of cabaret, or, you know, the Oak Room in New York kind of concert, especially when you compare it to what we just saw Madonna do at the halftime show, or Beyonce, who's unbelievable dancing, or Lady Gaga. This is such a throwback.
And, you know, it's funny because I remember when she first came out, she was sort of lumped in among the sort of Amy Winehouse clones. And, you know, she's definitely, I think, brought her aesthetic into an even more, you're right, you know, sort of Dusty in Memphis kind of thing,
yeah.
where she is just doing this plain and simple. And obviously, like, you know, sometimes she'll play with an orchestra. But I do think that there's a place for it in the current pop landscape.
She ain't real. She ain't gonna be able to love you like I will. She is a stranger. You and I have history, or don't you remember? Sure.
You have had a problem with some of the ways she's being described, and
definitely.
You would say, yeah, you would say marketed. Why is that?
It's not the way that she's marketed. It's the way people are reacting to her marketing. Because I do think that, you know, while there is obviously the appeal of the one-to-one intimacy, but I also know that, you know, the fact that she is doing this sort of unadorned thing, it's something that has an inherent appeal to people. And so, of course, it wouldn't be surprising if people exploited that in some way.
Well, to really underscore this, I mean, the Brit Awards last February, you know, the papers wrote Adele was so close to tears at the end of her performance of Someone that she had to turn away from the cameras. And, mm-hmm. you know, you list some of the ways, you know, she's described as being authentic. She doesn't sing with auto-tune. She's influenced
right.
by the greats. She's not skinny and she doesn't care. But you say she's as much a part of the machine as some of the other performers are.
Well, I think I'm kind of an absolutist on that, you know, because all these artists have publicists. They all have marketing plans. They all have, you know, ways that they are rolled out to the public. Being brought to emotion by the fact that you're singing a song isn't necessarily the only sign that you're for real.
Didn't I give it up? Tried my best. Gave you everything I had. Everything and no less. Didn't I do it right to let you down? Maybe you got too used to having me around.
Once you start sort of prizing like who's really feeling it over another person, you're really looking into motivations that might not be there, and you might be reacting to extra musical factors that aren't necessarily present.
You might be falling for it. Falling for the market. Right, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, I was stunned to find out that there are other people nominated for Grammys.
I know, right?
Kanye West actually tops the nominations with 7, then Adele, mm-hmm. Foo Fighters, Bruno Mars with 6, Lil Wayne, and Skrillex each up for 5 awards. But it feels as if, I mean, do you remember a Grammys where there's been this much focus on one artist?
Well, there was the Amy Winehouse Grammys a couple of years back, mm-hmm. you know, when she was sort of coming off her trip to rehab and she performed in London by satellite. And I remember seeing her crying when she won one of the awards.
Right.
I mean, the thing about Adele, too, is that she's just such a well-rounded success story this year because, she, you know, she's selling records in a time when nobody is at all. And obviously, there's also the anticipation for her coming back from this throat surgery, which, you know, I mean, that was sort of scary there. I mean, when you get surgery on your vocal cords and you're a singer. So I think there's also that anticipation of what's going to happen. Is she going to be any different in performing?
That's Maura Johnston, music critic for The Village Voice. Maura, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Close enough to start a war. All that I have.